Hello, and welcome to a TM CNET podcast. My name is Rich Trani. I am the president and group editor-in-chief of TMC and TMCNET, and we have a great guest today that I'm sure you're going to love to hear from. His name is Jamie Siminoff. He is the founder and CEO of Simulscribe, that today is changing its name to PhoneTag. So, Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, I've been following your blog, and you seem so pumped about this name change, and you were telling me how the response has been so amazing. Tell me what brought on your decision. Well, actually, before we even get into the decision to change the name, give me a few minutes just on what your company's doing and the products and services you have.
Sure. So PhoneTag is a service where we take voicemail and convert it into text so that you can read your voicemail messages. And, you know, we do a lot of products sort of off of that and off of the sort of voicemail enhancement. And we just launched another feature today, which is probably the biggest feature since launching just voicemail to text, which is a contact book integration where you can take your contact book, upload it into our site, and then when you get the voicemail from someone, if they're in your contact book, so for example, if you call me, Rich, and you leave me a message, it's going to come from your email address to me, so I can just hit reply and email you back.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so it really makes the voicemail, you know, once we put it into text, it becomes very easy to make it actionable. And now by having it literally come from your email address, it makes it fully actionable. And it's basically just like you're sending me an email, except it's easier for you because you're in the car and you're calling me to leave a voicemail message, and now I can just email you back.
So how does that technology work in the real world with a smartphone?
So it's all off the phone. So it's you take your contact book, your Outlook contact book, or Apple, or Gmail, or Yahoo, or any of the contact books. You upload them into our site, so it's sort of like a Salesforce, like a software as a service. And when we see your phone number coming in, we know that, you know, it's Rich Tarani and he's calling Jamie Siminoff. And when we send that email message out to Jamie Siminoff, who's the customer, and with that contact book uploaded, we send it from your email address.
That's great. Wow, so you've really taken this to the next level, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, to go even further, we also have integrated into our voice recognition so that Rich Tarani, which, you know, excuse me, but your name's probably not the easiest one to spell, you know, will now actually come in the message when you say, hi, Jamie, it's Rich Tarani. It's actually going to be spelled correctly because we're actually looking for the phoneme. We're looking for the sound of your name because we have a high probability that it's going to be in that message.
That's great. And you know what? You just reminded me, and I don't know why, but I forgot to mention on this podcast that it's the 25th of April, and it's Friday, and it's 2008, and it's a beautiful semi-sunny day here on the East Coast in Norwalk, Connecticut, where TMC is located. Where do you happen to be?
I'm in Los Angeles today in beautiful Pacific Palisades, and it is a beautiful day here as well.
That's great. And I guess I know that from your blog, I could just check out where you are by just going to your blog, and I know you've got an update of your laptop location, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and I've been traveling a lot over the last couple weeks, and I was actually international. I was in Kenya and London and all sorts of places, so it was kind of neat. People are tracking me all over the place.
Yeah, it's really, I think you're the only blog that I've seen. I'm sure it's on a lot of blogs, but the only blog I've seen where you do that. So very interesting stuff in terms of the leading-edge technology that you're coming up with. You told me a little bit earlier that you sent out some information or an email to your customers about the name change, and there's been a response, and you've been interacting with a lot of the customers. I mean, what sorts of things have you been hearing?
So with the name change, the name change was really the big thing in terms of the consumer side, because we just had such a really, I don't know if I can swear on this, but really such a terrible name. Simulscribe was just not a consumer name. It was sort of a cute hobby name that we, you know, made as a code name for the business, and it just was, I mean, it's just awful. It was just a terrible, terrible name. So, you know, switching to PhoneTag has been a really positive thing from even our customers as well as, you know, future customers and just people talking about it. So we sent out, I actually sent out from my email address today to all of our customers, which is a lot of customers, an email telling them about the name change as well as the contact book integration feature. And since 7 a.m. I've been typing away, and my fingers are actually sore. I've probably sent 500 emails. But it's great. I get to, you know, interact with the customers and really see what they're asking for. So far, the response to the contact book thing has been so good that it's actually taken our servers down 3 times. Which was just, you know, we just really had no idea how much demand was out there for that. Our customers are loving that. And also, it's cool because our customers are getting back to us and saying, you know, I couldn't really get behind Phone Tag. I wanted to tell friends about it, but around Simulscribe, because the name was just sort of so hard to spell or to tell them, and Phone Tag is just such a better name, which it's just amazing to hear that from the customer, because it's exactly what, you know, what we were hoping for. I mean, we want this thing to spread virally, as that's, you know, the most inexpensive way to gain a customer, and that looks like what we're able to do with Phone Tag.
And do you think that as you email, and as people start to get the emails from your service, that viral nature will spread?
I mean, we're already seeing it. We're already seeing 100% uptick in the customer referrals since last week. So I mean, it's just extraordinary. I mean, just the small amount of people with the contact book feature. Again, you know, the contact book feature we did as a way to improve our customers' experience. You know, as a side benefit of that, yes. I mean, you know, if I now email back to you your voicemail, you're going to see it and be like, oh my God, this is awesome. And also with a name like Phone Tag, you're actually going to be able to understand the name and be able to type it into a URL and go there. So the viral nature of it is just exploding with those two things, a better name and also something that, you know, allows for sort of that network effect to happen.
Very impressive. So in terms of technology, it seems like you keep updating and upgrading and evolving the product. What other things do you see coming down the pike?
Well, we don't pre-announce any of our technology before we come out with it. We only announce it once it's live. But we have actually, for the next 3 weeks, every week, we're going to be announcing a new feature. So we have some really cool stuff coming down. The biggest one, though, really was the contact book integration. I mean, I'm using it right now, and I've never enjoyed the product more as a user than I have with that integration. I mean, it's just really, I'm just floored by how much I enjoy it and how cool it is when someone calls me and in my email all of a sudden it shows up and it's from their email address and it's their name and just, you know, and it's there and I can just hit reply. It's just so easy, and it's just, you know, that's exactly what we set out to do, was to fix voicemail. We didn't care about the technology. We didn't care about, you know, sort of anything else. We didn't care about, you know, what kind of company we were building. We really wanted to fix voicemail, and this to me was like just a crowning achievement in fixing voicemail, and it really separates us out from all the other people in the field. I mean, no one has anything like this.
Yeah, it seems very very unique based on what I've seen, and it should definitely increase the stickiness of the product as well, and I think that it'll make it a lot more useful. So it looks like your product or your service is becoming more of a unified communications play, right? I mean, it seems to me like a lot of what the vendors I talk with that are selling unified communication solutions are doing things like this, and you're coming at it from a slightly different angle. Does that come up at all in your conversations?
It does, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, we are unified communications. I don't see what else you need if you have our product. And I know there's a lot of vendors out there doing a lot of things, and a lot of specialty sort of things are needed. But if you look at the overall consumer, what they want, they don't want complex unified communications. They want something really simple that works. And right now with Simulscribe, you can take your home, work, and mobile voicemail, send it all to Simulscribe. So no matter where someone calls you, they're gonna get your Simulscribe voicemail box. So you unified it to one voicemail box. If you miss the call, it now gets transferred into text and sent to your email, which typically most people work out of one email box. So it really sort of unifies everything down. And you know, people like to talk on email. It's much more efficient than talking on the phone. I mean, there's just not enough time in the day, sadly, to talk to everyone on the phone. So it really does, it not only unifies the communications, but it also separates it off and puts it into email, which is just a more efficient communications tool.
And I'm noticing that you're doing some really interesting things as well, like you're able now to deliver emails as MP3, and you may have been able to do it before, but I was only aware of the WAV file.
Yeah, we do. We allow the user to choose. We launched that a couple months ago, where we allow the user to choose the WAV file or MP3 or I think WMA or one of the other ones for delivery. And that's obviously different handsets have different players. Some do better with MP3, some do better with WAV. I mean, it just, you know, just depends on what the customer has. So,
well, it seems like a GSM option also.
Oh yeah, GSM. Sorry, that's the other one.
Oh, no problem.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it sort of goes, but all that stuff goes to what we're trying to do, which is, you know, give the customer the options, but make the overall product just really simple to use for the customer that doesn't want all the options. You know, someone doesn't have to choose that kind of stuff, but we allow them to if for example, from their BlackBerry, they can't play the MP3 or something.
No, speaking of, you mentioned a device, and I know that your service works with various devices, and with some devices you have I guess different versions of software and different levels of software. I mean, what are the pros and cons of the various devices in your service?
So the core service of PhoneTag is device agnostic. It doesn't matter what device you have, because we can send you the text as an SMS or as an email. So as long as you're getting SMS or email on your phone, basically you can be up and running with PhoneTag. We did do have an application that's on the BlackBerry and Windows mobile devices, which is very much like the Apple iPhone visual voicemail, with the inclusion of having transcription put in that message field. It is a very nice product, but really what we've been doing with that product is learning from that of what the customers like in the application, and then trying to put that information into our software as a service platform. The reason we're doing that is because applications on the phone, as you probably know, it's just a very tough market. People are not yet ready. The mass market is not yet there for downloading applications to the cell phone. There's a lot of different platforms and a lot of different issues you have with that. So what we're trying to do is take all the functionality we learn that the customer likes in the application, put that into our platform so that someone does not have to have the application, so that they can just get our service and use it on any phone cross-platform without having any problems.
And it makes a lot of sense, right? And like you said, I mean, there's so many platforms, keeping up with it all is becoming such a challenge, isn't it?
It's keeping up with it all. It's also, you know, I think what people don't realize is, unlike in the computer world where you have, you know, Windows and Apple, I mean, you literally have two platforms to develop on, and you basically, with that, maybe you could say Linux, but I mean, you know, that's an easy one. So maybe you have three platforms to develop for, whereas even on BlackBerry, there's multiple platforms that are truly different in terms of how the software works. So you can't even just develop for BlackBerry. You have to develop for multiple pieces and types of BlackBerries. Windows Mobile is the same thing. There's two different types of Windows Mobile. There's touch Windows Mobile and non-touch Windows Mobile on the screen. And then you go into all the different handsets. So, and each handset has its own, even though it runs a common platform, has its own problems with how it does things. So there's really like thousands of different options when you're trying to build an application for the phone, which is why you see it's so hard to really build a real true consumer-branded product that's an application downloaded to the cell phone. And that's why you just don't see it happening out there.
And the reality is, I mean, as long as people have email on their cell phone, and just with the explosion of smartphones, that, I mean, you can really utilize much of the functionality with just an email account, right?
Exactly. And that's the key, is that email and SMS are ubiquitous across cell phones. You know, the handset manufacturer, the carrier is already building those in. They're doing the work, the heavy lifting. So it's being able to ride on something like that, where it's sort of bug-free and already been fixed, is obviously a lot better, not just from a cost standpoint, but also from a consumer side. You know, it just works.
So in some ways, I'd say that visual voicemail is becoming the killer application for smartphones.
I think it will be a killer application in smartphones. I mean, I think there's three, we look at the world as there's three different types of communication forms. There's SMS, which says one thing when you communicate with someone. If I send you an SMS, it's usually because we're meeting at a restaurant and I'm 5 minutes late, so I'll send you an SMS and not an email, for example. Then there's email, which is this sort of normal chatter back and forth, you know, oh, let's set up a meeting, or can you do this, or do you know the answer to that? And then there's voicemail, which voicemail sort of falls somewhat in between the two, because voicemail does have a somewhat immediate response request to it, but it's a different sort of chatter. So we do feel that visual voicemail is sort of one of the three main communication types that you want to have on your phone. And by separating it out, yes, I mean, we think that that's an important thing, that there's three sort of folders on your phone for these three different types of communication.
Right. So in terms of unifying the three, I mean, I guess that's yet another area that we'll see probably more advancements in terms of...
You know, I'm not sure if the customer wants the three unified.
Really?
You know, BlackBerry right now comes with SMS and email as a default in the same box. And everyone I know who I talk to has a BlackBerry says the worst thing about BlackBerry is the email and the SMS are in the same box. And I show them there's actually a way to separate the two from each other to two different folders. And everyone I show that to, they want to do it. And I think at some point when you keep unifying things, you actually go too far to where, you know, you've actually unified sort of out the reason why someone's sending you an SMS versus an email.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. But at the same time, I tend to look at that inbox more than I look at anything else. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because a lot of us have developed or have signed up for so many different email accounts over the years that keeping track of it all is becoming a challenge. So I'm
I'll be watching it closely. Having all those email accounts, I mean, for example, having those come to the same folder, that's something where, yes, I think everyone will sort of go that way. I mean, that's how I have, I probably have 40 email addresses that are out there. I don't even know, but they all funnel to the same place. So to me, it's just sort of, I live one box.
Right.
But it definitely will be interesting to see. I mean, from our side, that's something we're not trying to hedge a bet on, because we take voicemail and convert it into text. And however the consumer's going to want it displayed, we do know one thing, which is that they're going to want their voicemail and text, because that is the only way to sort of make it easy to move it around. Whether it's in one box or a separate box, you know, having it as a voicemail itself is just brutal.
Now, what do you think about, from a competitive standpoint, of your name change versus others in the market?
I mean, I think we have the best name in the market by far now. I mean, I think we went from the worst to the best. You know, if you look at the other names that are out there, Spinvox, GotVoice, and really Spinvox is our only real competitor of size. I mean, you know, Spinvox, great company, but I can tell you, you know, if you told a consumer Spinvox and PhoneTag, which one do you remember? You know, I think they'd remember PhoneTag. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, sadly, it's not only the best product that wins, it's also the one that people remember. You know, and we do feel we had always had the best product, we just had the worst name. So we sort of now matched, hopefully, the best product and the best name together, which, you know, so far seems to be doing pretty well for us.
And is part of your reasoning in terms of the best product having to do with the user interface or sending the audio file with the transcribed email? I mean, what are your thoughts there?
Sure. I think one part of it is just that we have just an incredibly accurate transcription. But, you know, that's something that other companies can do. I mean, I wouldn't say that we separate ourselves on that, though we feel that we're, you know, industry leading with that. But I would say, just to Spinvox's credit, I think they're probably about the same quality. However, you know, things like the options that we give our customer in terms of how they interact with the product, that's definitely where we're industry leading. You know, our application, no one else has anything even like it. The contact book upload stuff, no one has anything even close to it. So we continue to work on and roll things out that are just, you know, really industry leading in terms of how the customer interfaces with the product. And so far, our customers have responded, you know, very, very positively to it. So much so that, like, I think, like I told you, they crashed our server 3 times today uploading so many contact books. We had no idea that the response rate would be as high as it has been. I mean, you're talking, we thought maybe the response rate would be a few percentage points, and right now it's probably over 50% of the customers have already loaded contact book. So it's pretty insane.
And when did you announce it?
We announced it on Wednesday.
That's amazing. And
I mean, you never plan for something like that in the business. I mean, usually response rates are 2, 3, 4, 5.
Sure, of course. So
yeah.
What's the number of subscribers now? Are you getting that info out? I'm curious.
We don't release anymore. We stopped releasing it after 20,000, and we just figure, you know, at this point, it's sort of a moot point. There's so much information that, you know, private companies tend to release, especially in new industries, that's sort of BS, that we've just decided to sort of to try to stay out of that and just, you know, let the company build itself on its own. I can tell you that we will be break-even in early Q4, maybe even late Q3 at this point. You know, we've grown substantially. We have positive gross margin, and we're building a real company. We're 10 people, you know, and we're definitely building some substantial revenues.
Wow, it seems like a lot of customers for 10 people, so that's very impressive.
Well, we definitely want to stay to the, you know, sort of the realer metrics in the market. You know, you see economic turndowns as they're happening and stuff, and, you know, the businesses that succeed are the ones that, you know, have, you know, that stay core to their teams and, you know, perform, and everyone works hard. And, you know, if you have a lot of people, sometimes, you know, it's you're burning a little too much money, it's hard to get over the hump. So, you know, we really are here to build a really successful, real company, profitable company, and to be, you know, the industry leader in this.
So, excuse me, tell me, how did you get started? What made you decide to get in this business?
Well, I was in a hotel room with my now business partner in this, who's this sort of mentor of mine, and an older guy, and his son, who was visiting a college out in L.A., and we were sitting there, and we wanted to go out to eat, and we were hungry, and he was checking his voicemail, and his son and I were sort of yelling at him, and he's, you know, dropping F-bombs and his stupid voicemail and 7 and 9 and trying to get through it all, and we're yelling at him, and I said, well, wouldn't it be great if, you know, I could get you set up on a thing that has the WAV files delivered? And he sort of looked at me and said, how's that going to help? I still have to listen to it. And his son said, wouldn't it be great if you could read your voicemail? And I said, you know what? I bet you we could do that. So when we left the hotel room that night, we decided, okay, 50-50, we'll go in on this thing. We'll each put in, you know, a couple thousand bucks, and we'll do it so we can read our own voicemail. And that was literally just the start of it. And that's, you know, that's where the name Simulscribe came out of, because, you know, a couple of weeks later, we just needed a code name for the project that had a domain name available, and simultaneous voicemail transcription, you know, Simulscribe sounded cool for the code name. And, you know, before we had a chance to sort of think about updating it, we ended up getting too many customers and getting too much going on, and, you know, it's very hard to get a name that has a good domain, so all those things just sort of kept rolling until today.
That's great. So how often do you actually call in nowadays to listen to your voicemail?
To listen to my voicemail?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever call in, or?
Probably the last time I've called in to listen to a voicemail was, I'd say, 2 years ago. I mean, the only thing
that's
that does
crazy.
Happen is, you know, in like any service, you know, we're not claiming to be 100%, so we try to be at least 95%, which means that, you know, out of every 100 voicemails, maybe 5 you'd want to listen to just to see what, you know, something is, because we couldn't transcribe it properly. So I do every once in a while, you know, listen to one from the computer, but I can tell you it's a lot easier than having to call in and go through a whole thing of menus, which we do offer. I mean, you can call into your Simulscribe voicemail, but very few people do it, which is a good sign. We don't want people calling in, because that means that they're taking time out of their day to do something that they shouldn't have to do.
So I've had a bunch of questions about just investment in this particular space, and are there ways that people can invest in this particular space? Is your company thinking of going public, or what are your thoughts there?
You know, it's funny. We actually got, you know, of the emails I got back today, I'd say even 5 or 6 or 10% were about investing in the company. I mean, the space definitely has taken people's, I'd say, imagination or something. I mean, people are definitely, they like the space, and they would like to invest in it. You know, right now we're staying private. We're going to be profitable. We have still a substantial amount of money in the bank. So we're really not, you know, looking at it taking any investment in. And, you know, if you look at the only other real player in the business is Spinbox, they just took down another $100 million, which brings them to $200 million total. So if someone has maybe another $100 million they want to put in, I'm sure Spinbox would do another round. But as of right now, I think this space is really, you know, private companies, and the ones that are out there that are really doing it are staying private. I mean, at some point, I mean, yeah, I think going public would be great. So, you know, it would definitely be fun. So.
Well, I mean, in some ways, you have a business model that's similar to Salesforce.com, right? Would that be accurate?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it is. It's a software as a service. We try to do everything in a hosted environment. You know, so that there is no sort of downloads or anything else involved. So, yeah, we definitely try to sort of mimic that, you know, subscription fee type of service where everything is done by us.
Right.
So that you don't have to sort of worry about, you know, the problems. And obviously Salesforce.com has proven, as others have, that that's a, you know, very attractive thing to the consumer, because they don't have to sort of deal with all the other stuff of downloading and, you know, maintaining things themselves.
Now, what are your thoughts on the people who use your service in business as opposed to personal?
In terms of what you mean by that?
What do you think the percentages are? Do you have that information?
Oh, okay. So, you know, our customers come to us and sign up, so it's hard to sort of tell, but we really have what we call the prosumer. We have the, you know, high-level executives and a lot of entrepreneurs and people like that, so which we find that a lot of people like that, they're sort of, their lives meld into one, so their personal and their business lives sort of
cross
boundary. Exactly. So, you know, we'll handle for an executive their home phone voicemail as well as their work phone and their mobile phone. So we're sort of taking all of their different things. So is it a personal use? Yes, sometimes it is. On the weekends, it's definitely personal use. You know, on Monday morning, it's a business use. So, you know, we really see it as just a fix of voicemail. And you know, we have customers that are, I just got contacted by a customer today who's a retired guy who, he's actually one of the founders of one of the largest golf companies in the country. Very, very wealthy guy, and he said, you know, he actually said, for a degenerate like myself who just plays golf all day, this is the greatest thing ever, because when people call me, I can read it on the course, but at my clubs, I'm not allowed to listen to the phone or call in or anything else, and I can respond to my BlackBerry. So there's a use that's sort of just, you know, completely different than the normal sort of corporate use, but again, it's, you know, fixing the voicemail problem.
And I've written about this, and for those people that haven't actually had a chance to read this particular blog entry or article, soon after I got on to voicemail transcription service, I was being interviewed. There was a big announcement in the voice over IP space, and a whole bunch of reporters were contacting me about a whole bunch of different issues, and you know, getting quotes and talking to me and trying to pick my brain. And they all, most of these calls came in at the same time. And I was working, I think, on a, it was like a day when most people weren't in the office. I don't remember what, it was some holiday, and I don't remember what it was. But so nobody else could help me with my phone calls. And all the voicemails came in as emails. And I was able to, I had a PR person that was working the same day, wasn't in our office. I was able to forward the emails to him and have him help me and basically field these phone calls and respond to the reporters in a timely manner. I was able to speak with a lot of reporters on that day, and I would not have been able to do that with traditional voicemail, because I would not have been able to do it. First of all, the voicemails would have come in and they would have been stuck in my voicemail, and I would not have been able to hear them, or would I have known to even forward them, because I wouldn't have known what was contained inside of them. So it allowed me to get a lot more accomplished in a short amount of time, and I actually was written up in about, I don't know, 5 newspapers in one day, which is very unusual to get so much coverage.
Yeah, especially on a day where your staff was out that you couldn't even get the help. And that's really what it's about. It's you know, voicemail transcription is someone paying for more time in their day and more efficiency. And, you know, whether you use that to do more work or whether you use that to then, you know, go home earlier and play with your kids. I mean, the average person listens to voicemail over 3 hours per month. You know, that's just an enormous waste of time. And you know, if you can buy 3 hours, you know, you can look at the, you know, we have a $30 a month unlimited plan. So if you're getting paid over $10 an hour, or you value your time more than $10 an hour, then this is something where, you know, it's really for you. Because as you saw that day, you can scan through a voicemail that's transcribed very quickly, whereas you can't scan through an audio file because you have to listen to the whole thing.
Exactly right. And so, as we're talking about companies and how viral this sort of product is, what happens in an enterprise or a small or medium business when multiple people want to get the service? Are there people requiring or requesting plans for corporate users?
Yeah, there are, and we do them. You know, we usually start at like 10 or 20 users before we, you know, want to do anything with it in terms of discounting. But we definitely have lots of you know, smaller law firms, et cetera, that are doing that, as well as, you know, we're in talks with a lot of very, very large organizations, you know, 3,000 to 30,000 people type organizations that are looking at rolling this out across the entire company.
Great. And one final question I have is on security. What do you tell people just in terms of security of this sort of service?
Well, we've secured everything. I mean, it's, again, you know, it sort of goes to the Salesforce or anything else. You know, a lot of people said Salesforce would never make it because who would put their most valuable resource, which is their sort of sales contact, into someone else's servers? And, you know, obviously they've more than made it. So I think, you know, we have everything encrypted, everything's, you know, to all the sort of standards of security. Really, you know, the weakest link in this whole thing is your email. Once it hits your email box, you know, that's where people don't realize is probably their weakest link in their entire security chain, because, you know, someone comes over to their desk when they're not there and they start reading their email. You know, or take it off from there. But really, from our side, I mean, everything's encrypted all the way through. So there's just no way that that anyone's going to break in and get this information out.
That's great. So what is just a final thought that you might want to give to people that are considering going to a voicemail to text service or a voicemail transcription service? What would you tell them?
I would just tell them, I mean, if you value your time, you know, more than $8 to $10 per hour, then this is a service that you're going to be able to buy time for much less than that. And to me, the game at this point in life, with how busy everyone is time. I mean, it's just, you know, where can you buy more time? And that's something that voicemail transcription gives you. And it, you know, it also lets you relax. And when you get, you know, when you land on the plane and you have 13 voicemails, instead of being freaked out and listening to them, you can just sit there and go through them and action them and send it to your assistant or to the PR person and say, can you deal with this, versus having to make 3 calls and write something down and, you know, everything else. So it just really, you know, it's just one of these, you know, simplifying things, just like a BlackBerry was. And, you know, we feel that everyone at some point will become a user of it.
That's great. That's great. And I really appreciate your time, Jamie. It's been, as always, a pleasure, and I wish you the best of luck. And thanks so much for your time on this podcast. Once again, we've been talking with Jamie Siminoff, who is the founder and CEO of PhoneTag. The company was called SimulScribe, and as of tonight, midnight, actually, on the 25th of April, 2008, Friday. The name, it goes from Simulscribe to PhoneTag. And thanks again for your time, Jamie.
Thank you very much.